For our purposes now, just think about the fact that writing is necessary to count the goods, quantities of service and labor that are associated with a city, if 20, 40,000 people. And so this idea of writing fits in much more closely with a large, dense population, a need to control resources that occurs in a city than might be necessary in a village. I mentioned that surface survey and patterns of settlement analysis have been applied to Uruk, and these are important ideas for helping us more fully understand what's happening in the city. Around 4,000 to 3,300, so before the period when Uruk becomes a major city, Uruk is still a significant settlement. It's about 40 hectares in size. Around it are a few much, much smaller settlements, certainly far less than half the size of the city of Uruk. And the nearest comparable city, which is identified by measuring its tell, or its mound, was a good 30 miles away. Between 3,300 and 3,000, Uruk had grown to the size of 200 hectares, and about four settlements of 40 hectares, so what Uruk had been in the earlier period, were within a few miles of Uruk. So we're starting to see a major metropolis, again to use some anachronistic terms, but I think they're helpful, surrounded by what used to be considered a city around this major area. The map of settlement in southern Mesopotamia looks much different in general. It is dotted with many larger tells, so indicating cities, large settlements. There are more of them. They are closer together. There's a greater number of larger settlements and very few small ones. And you can really get a sense of the crowding that develops in southern Mesopotamia. Sometimes it's difficult to imagine population pressure in ancient cities, but looking at the way that settlements were laid out, we can see that the idea of cities was clearly very successful. It caught on quickly. The benefits of what a city could provide were considered much more useful than living independently. This study shows that looking at how settlements are laid out is very important. It would be impossible to excavate all of these tells, even the small ones. But if we get an idea of the distance between settlements, their relative size, and some idea of the date from the objects that can be collected on the surface, that often include pottery that we can date to the Ubayyad period or the Uruk period, we can get quite a bit of information about what is happening without having to excavate each one of these settlements. That said, let's immediately rush back to excavation because, of course, this is what archaeologists love. And it does give us a detailed discussion and description of what types of objects were used by the people living in the city of Uruk. Excavation is also important for understanding how far the concepts and objects that the people of Uruk used spread. And we see, perhaps somewhat surprisingly, that artifacts used while Uruk flourished and grew have been found to the north in Syria and to the east in Iran, southern Iran. And at this point, southern Iran is effectively the same culture as southern Mesopotamia. So we don't see a distinction between these two regions. It's all the same. This spread of artifacts shows that the Uruk culture and perhaps even ideas extended far throughout Mesopotamia. So once again, we see how important the rivers are as a means for communication.